groves, and he filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high places which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made. Both that altar and the high places he broke down, and he burned the high places, and he stamped it small to powder, and he burned the groves. And Josiah turned himself to, and he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount. Saw those graves up on the hill, and he sent, and he took the bones out of those sepulchers, and he burned them upon the altars, and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, "What title is this that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulcher of the man of God which came from Judah, who proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone. Let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. I want to speak today, and I believe I've talked on this story before, but it's just one of my favorites. I want to talk about Josiah's bones. Hallelujah. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, you help me to teach this message, God, to speak today, God, and touch somebody's life, God. Minister to somebody's heart today, God. Do a mighty work in this house, God, that only you can do, God. You've already here. We've already felt your presence. We've already felt your touch, God. Just continue to move, Lord, as I speak your holy word, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Josiah. You know, to really understand this story of Josiah, you need to go back one book and 10 chapters earlier to 1 Kings 13. Well, you need to go back some 300 plus years before Josiah was even born. See, King David's son, King Solomon, he ended up turning his kingdom over to his son, Rehoboam. And it was Rehoboam and another man that was part of Solomon's cabinet, Jeroboam, who could not get along, and there was a kingdom split. And King Rehoboam and King Jeroboam went their separate ways. And Jeroboam took two tribes, and we know they called them Israel. And Rehoboam had the nation of Judah. And at first, Jeroboam was kind of interested in reuniting the kingdoms. But over time, Jeroboam got used to all the benefits and the privileges of being king. I believe he liked the attention he was getting and the power that he felt. He liked being the head honcho or the main man. So Jeroboam did what he could to make sure there would be no reunification of these two kingdoms. And what he decided to do was to take every opportunity that the children of Israel had to go back to Jerusalem to worship. See, every year they would make that long journey back to Jerusalem to worship on certain days. And Jeroboam decided that if I will build a place here on the northern side for them to worship, one here in Bethel and one here in Dan, then maybe they won't go all the way back to Jerusalem. Because it was certainly more convenient to worship God here than to go all the distance and worship God there. It was certainly more comfortable to worship God on our own schedules and in our own ways rather than make the effort and get out of our comfort zones and go all the way and listen to the word of God. So Jeroboam, he built a calf, the one in Bethel and the one in Dan, and he was forever labeled with this label, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam had no problem saying, "These be the gods that delivered you out of Egypt. Worship you them." So the children of Israel would go to Bethel or they would go to Dan because it was convenient and it was comfortable to them and their flesh liked it. Oh, church, we can't take the easy way. We can't take the easy way. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. It requires a little effort. It requires getting out of our comfort zones and going all the way sometimes. walking past our pride or walking past our flesh or could I say even walking past our laziness or walking past our personalities. God's tired of hearing about how we are too shy or too reserved to really outwardly worship Him. Every service has got to be an evangelistic service. Every service we need to walk through His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Every service we got to have a moving of God's Spirit. Every service we've got to give all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our mind and all of our strength. Every message needs to be a Holy Ghost filled message. Every service we've got to go all the way back to Jerusalem. We need to do whatever it takes to have a moving of God. Hallelujah. So God had enough. And simultaneously as this was all taking place in Bethel and taking place in Dan, God was talking to a young prophet in Judah. And God put the words into his mouth and he gives him an order. He says, I want you to speak my word fearlessly to Jeroboam, the king over Israel. That wasn't an easy task for a young prophet. I want you to say what I put in your mouth and be not afraid of him. So this young prophet, he went to Jeroboam and he walked right straight into the altar room of Bethel. And he said, Jeroboam, I want you to understand what thus saith the Lord. There's going to be a child that is born, Josiah by name. And he shall execute the righteousness of God. And he shall bring the judgment of God into this land. And he will pollute the high places and that you have established. And he will destroy the groves and he will cut down the images. Get ready, because Josiah is on his way. Josiah is going to bring the righteousness of God. And at first, if you know the story, this young prophet greatly offended Jeroboam. King Jeroboam, and Jeroboam reaches out his hand to order the execution of this young prophet, and as he did, his hand just begins to cripple right before his eyes. And now Jeroboam, he feels the fear of God. Hallelujah. And he stops and he says, I understand that you speak the truth. And I want you to come over to my house and have fellowship with me and tell me more about this prophecy. Jeroboam sounded like he wanted the word of God. But this young prophet simply says, I can't do that. God has told me that I'm not to go to anybody's house. I'm just supposed to come here and go back a different way, and I'm going to do what the word of the Lord told me to do. So he went on his way home, and he stops for a little shade under an oak tree, the Bible says. But in the meantime, there was this old prophet. And he had heard what this young prophet had done, and he wanted to talk to this young prophet. And he goes and he meets this young man, and he says to him, I want you to come over to my house. I want you to tell me more about the word of God. I want you to tell me more about this man named Josiah. But this young man says, I'm sorry, sir. God gave me strict instructions not to go to anybody's house. Don't dwell in this place, but I've got to go all the way back to Jerusalem. And that old prophet said, I too am a prophet. And I said that you can come. And the angel even told me that it would be okay. You know, that's why it's so important just to listen to the word of God. I've had too many mentors and too many elders of mine and too many men of God that I have looked up to over the years tell me it's okay to go a different way. God has told me it's okay. I'm in the will of God. We must make sure we're listening to the word of God and not the words of man. And this young prophet, unfortunately, he didn't listen. And he went to that old prophet's house. And he had fellowship with him. And then finally the word of God came to that old prophet. A little too late. And he says, I have led you astray. You should not have come to my house. You disobeyed God and the judgment of God is waiting for you. And that young man went out and he went on his way. And the Bible says that a lion killed him. It found him and destroyed him. What I find interesting is that lion did not eat him, the Bible says. The Bible says that the lion just killed him. And the body of that young prophet just laid there with the lion on one side and his donkey still on the other side standing on the road. That lion didn't even kill the donkey. Didn't even eat the donkey. Listen, the lion did not kill him because he was hungry. He killed him because that's what he loved to do. He killed him for sport. When we get away from the convictions that God has placed in our lives, there is an adversary. There is an old lion that is out there that is looking for any opportunity to destroy your life. And he's not doing it because he's hungry. He's not doing it out of instinct. He's doing it because he enjoys doing it. He's doing it for sport. He's doing it because he enjoys it. That's the kind of devil we're up against, church. So when God gives you a conviction, stick to that conviction. Don't play games with the word of God. Don't play games with this world. Don't question the word of the living God. So this lion, he kills him. And this old prophet comes back by, or he hears about it, and he finds that body. And listen to what he says in 1 Kings 13:31. He says to his sons, he says, "When I die, bury me in the sepulcher where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. Mark my words, when I die, I need to be buried where you buried him. I need to have my bones beside his bones." Now let's go back to 2 Kings 22. You know, there's something about King Josiah that I just love. I think it's because it fits my nature. You know, we all have our own personalities. And I know we all are to strive to be Christ-like. And I know I need to be more humble. And I need to be more meek. And I need more patience. I know I need to be more patience. I need to be more calm. I need all those qualities that the bishop has. And I strive to be like that. But the reality is my nature is kind of more like Josiah. Josiah was aggressive. Josiah was not laid back. The Bible says in 2 Kings 22 that we know Dwayne talked about Josiah was only 8 years old when he became king. Josiah became king without much of a chance for success. You can say he didn't have much of a godly upbringing. The Bible says his dad, King Amon, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He was murdered by his own servants. His grandfather, King Manasseh, was even worse than his son, because he rebuilt all the high places that his father, Josiah's great-grandfather, King Hezekiah, had destroyed. He rebuilt the altars of Baal, built ungodly altars into the very house of the Lord. He got involved in witchcraft and wizards and spirits and enchantments, even offering his own son on an altar of fire. And the Bible says God was extremely angry. But even then, he offers him another chance to return to the law of Moses. God always gives us another chance. That's what I love about God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 2 Kings 21 and 9, "But they hearkened not." They didn't take his second chance. "But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servant the prophet, saying, Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done this abomination and has done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and has made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down." He was angry. God had already made up his mind before Josiah was ever born that Israel was going to be destroyed and only a remnant would be left and them in captivity. But despite his past, despite the past, and despite the future of his country, the Bible says in 2 Kings 22:2 that Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked all the ways of David his father and turned not aside to the right or to the left. So Josiah is king for about 18 years when he looked at the house of the Lord, looked at Solomon's temple, and he decided this place is a dump. It's time for a remodeling project. Now, I'm working on a 130-year-old house right now, and that's hard. You know, imagine that remodeling project. So he tells the high priest, Hilkiah, to take all the money, the tithes and the offering you've been collecting and use it to fix that place up. So this high priest, Hilkiah, who was the one in charge of the house, but had obviously been ignoring it, he finds the word of God during this remodeling project, buried on a pile of dust. And he tells Shaphan, the scribe, and Shaphan takes it and he reads it. And Shaphan goes and meets King Josiah and begins to read the book to him. And at first, Josiah must have been so confused because he was raised to believe this way of idolatry. It was truth to him. And though he was of Judah, he was not raised to believe like Moses or like Isaac or like Jacob. And now all of a sudden he gets to Deuteronomy chapter 20 and Josiah starts hearing things like, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. And Josiah, who had been taught so many wrong things, taught about all these idolatry principles, he hears, thou shalt not have no graven images before me. Hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and him only shall thou serve. And you're to love him with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and all your strength. And Josiah realizes we are in violation of the Almighty God. Something begins to happen to this young man. The anointing of God begins to flow over his head, the head of Josiah, and descend down his body, and he's saturated with the unction of the Lord. And when was the last time you just let God's word just get deep down inside of you? When was the last time you just got saturated in the power of the Holy Ghost? I want to tell somebody today, if it's been a while, you need to rip off the boards of that old temple. You need to wipe away the cobwebs of that relationship. And you need to rediscover the word and the power of the living God. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 22:11-13, that when Josiah heard the word, that he rent his clothes. He repented. He tells his main religious men to get a hold of God, because God is angry with us because of how we've been acting all these years. And ladies, you like this. All these big shot religious men, even the high priests, quickly realize they don't know how to get a hold of God. So the Bible says they go to a prophetess named Huldah. They say she was a relative of Jeremiah. I'm not sure where Jeremiah was at the time. And sometimes it just takes a woman to get the job done. Can I get an amen from the ladies? And Huldah boldly said unto them in 2 Kings 22:15, she said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. Now, I kind of like that. She's talking about the king. Just tell that man. She had no respect for the office of the king. Why should she? They've been disobeying God's word and law and destroying Israel for years. But she continues, Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. It was just a little reminder what he had already told his great-grandfather and his grandfather. But Huldah went on to say to Josiah, since your heart is tender and you have humbled yourself and you have asked for forgiveness and you have wept before the Lord, God said, I have heard thee. In verse 20, he says, behold, therefore I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thy eyes shall not see evil, all the evil which I will bring upon this place. He said, you're going to die before you see it happen. You know, we're in that same boat kind of today. No matter what we do, we can't save this world. This world is going to be destroyed. This world is going to burn. Yes, we can save. And we must save. And we will save as many souls out of this world that we can. But we'll never save this world. And Josiah, no matter what he did, he couldn't save Jerusalem from God's proclaimed certain destruction. But that didn't stop him from trying. That didn't stop him from doing everything that he could. He walked in all the ways of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And that anointing oil that flowed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, it did more than just affect the exterior of his body, but it got deep down inside of him. Josiah doesn't hesitate to go on a righteous rampage. You know, the great violation to the word of God sickened him. It angered him. And what is happening in this world sickens God. It ought to sicken us. We need a little righteous indignation. We need to get a little angry with what some are passing off as the truth. We need to be a little upset with the way God's word is being twisted or the way God's plan is being twisted. We need to stand up and say something about how Christians are being made to look like the bad guys all the time. We're being made to look like we are full of hate and attacking others while the whole time liberalism or progressive movement is being forced down our throats. And this world and the media is pushing homosexuality and adultery and New Age philosophy and any other type of sin that it can, trying to take God out of our schools and out of our government and out of our lives. There ought to be something that rises up within us and says enough is enough. This world is doomed for destruction, but I've got to do something. Hallelujah. 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 So Josiah, he first gathers all the people, both small and great, into the house of the Lord. And this time he reads to them. Hallelujah. He reads all of God's books to them. Before, he was ordering other people to read and other people to go and other people to do. But now he is going to do it personally. And they repent and they make a covenant to do things right according to God's word. And all the people agree. Josiah says, I've got the authority to do what I'm getting ready to do. I want you to cut down every grove. I want you to remove every high place. I want you to defile every altar because we're going back to God. We're going back to Jehovah. And we're going to repent. And we're going to change. And we're going to cleanse ourselves. And Josiah did just that. He walked up and he started breaking down images. He demanded them to be stamped to powder. He begins to destroy every trace of idolatry. Hallelujah. He begins to wipe it all clean. He was on a righteous rampage. He begins to desecrate the altars and knock them down. And the Bible says he went through everything. All of Israel. Hallelujah. He went through the house of the Sodomites, and he destroyed everything that was not of God. He was absolutely a tool of God to restore righteousness to Israel. And I can imagine in my mind today, Josiah was getting worked up. He was getting pretty worked up. And I could see him looking around for something else to destroy. Because God is having revival. And the first thing that happens when God has revival is he starts destroying sin. That's why you don't want to be a part of sin, my friend. Because if you're attached to sin, you're going to get caught up in the destruction. You're going to get destroyed by the fire. Josiah was destroying everything that was ungodly. And finally, he looks up at some sepulchers. He saw those graves, and he goes up to them, and he opens up those graves, and they open up the graves, and they dump out all those bones of all those idolatrous high priests, and he burns them on the altars. Listen, those people felt good about their lives when all the people were praising them and honoring them for their idolatrous acts. But what they did not know was that the righteousness of God would not allow those deeds to go unpunished. This world is full of so-called men and women of God, of pastors and priests and rabbis that have led their flocks astray for years, teaching them the wrong message, trying to show them the easier way. And oh, I'm telling you, there's a price that is going to be paid. Josiah was destroying them all. Then he comes across the grave. And he tells someone, tell me whose grave this is. He was getting ready to rip into it. Whose grave is this? But they said, wait a minute, Josiah. This grave houses the bones of a young prophet who said what you are doing today would happen. He spoke fearlessly the word of God, and what he said would happen, it's happening right now. He called you by name years ago, 300 years ago, and this is his grave. And there's another guy in there with him. That's what the Bible says. Let's read it, 2 Kings 23:17 again. Then he said, what title is this that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. That old prophet, 300 plus years earlier, knew when he looked down at that dead, torn up corpse of that young prophet, he knew that that was a valiant man, that was a man of God. And he looked around and he saw all the idolatry and he saw all the sin and he saw all the ungodliness that was taking place. And he said to himself, this stuff is not going to last. This place is going to be judged by God. And I'm going to attach myself to something that's going to stand through the fire. I want to be buried with something that's going to last. I want to be buried with something that's going to endure. See, idolatry will pass, and immorality will pass, and ungodliness will pass. Let me tell you this morning, the football game's going to pass. The basketball game's going to pass. Hallelujah. Your Hollywood's going to pass. Your new house is going to pass. Your new car is going to pass. Hallelujah. Everything in this world is going to pass. Hallelujah. Oh, God, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word shall not pass away. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth. But the word of God, but the word of God, but the word of God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. It may not be popular right now, but bury me with something that's going to last. Oh, church, that's why we're buried with him into his baptism, into his death, when we repent of our sins and we're baptized in Jesus' name and we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We are attaching ourselves to something that's going to last, attaching ourselves to something that this world can't take away, attaching ourselves to something that cancer itself can't take away, attaching ourselves to something that death itself can't take away. It's the commandment of the king to leave those bones alone. Hallelujah. I'm tired about hearing about people risking everything for just a moment of worldly pleasure. Risking everything just to flirt with that coworker or to have that affair. Risking everything just to have those few drinks of alcohol. Risking everything just to open up that pornography site on your computer. Risking everything just to fit in with the world. I'm telling you, don't get caught up in it. We need to say, I don't want anything to do with all of that. I want to be buried with the bones of the prophet. You're not going to destroy me, devil, because I will not be attached to something, attached to what is getting ready to come down. I'm going to be buried in the word of God. I'm going to be buried in my worship and in my praise. I'm going to be buried in my prayers. I'm going to be buried into the church. I'm going to be buried into the body of Christ. Lord, bury me. Bury me. Bury me to something that's going to last. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm closing, musicians, if you would come. Bury me, God. King Josiah, he did die in battle and never saw his city destroyed and his people taken captive. Hallelujah. Just like God promised. Never saw Nebuchadnezzar take over. Thank God there were still men like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Esther that still carried on the truth. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 23 and 25. It says, And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, neither after him rose there any like him. We need to preach more about King Josiah. He says there was nobody like King Josiah. Before him, that includes David. We love to preach about David, a man after God's own heart. The Bible says he gave his all. He gave all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his mind and all of his strength. It's so impressive from where he came from. What a way to be remembered. Wouldn't you love to be remembered as someone who gave their all? As someone who heard from God and stood up and took back what the devil had stolen from you. Hallelujah. Let's stand today. Oh, church, let's give our all today. With the remaining of this service, let's give our everything today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These altars are open. If you want to come today and give your all. Listen, I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what you're up against today. And I don't know what you've been through. I don't know how dry or how dead you may be. But what I do know is that if you get buried with Jesus, if you get buried with Jesus, if you get buried in the Word, get buried in your prayers, get buried in your worship, if you get buried with that stuff, you're going to make it. You're going to make it through the fire. You won't be destroyed. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to somebody today, and I'm telling you that the only solution today is to get buried with Jesus. Get immersed into this gospel. Attach yourself to something that's going to last. Hallelujah. These altars are open. Would you come this morning? Attach yourself to something to last. His word's going to last. This truth is going to last. His spirit is going to last. The church is going to last. Hallelujah. Get buried with Jesus this morning. Immerse yourself in God this morning.